You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios going into hour number two already. Covering down on all the issues, sometimes the local, the state, the national, and man, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, well, we're gonna keep this thread going, right? We're on this first part of the Triple Dipper. I introduced it a few minutes before the top of the hour. I just kind of euphemistically called this section, "Who Hired That Guy?" Well, I'm talking about the state health officer, and the reality is none of us hired that guy. None of us did. He was appointed by the Medical Association, which, who knew? The very idea that somebody who apparently has, you know, warrantless opportunities to enter your own home or business, to quarantine you, to shut down your school, to make sure that you're declared non-essential, all those things can come from the state health officer, and he's not appointed by the governor, not confirmed by the Senate? Wow. All right, all that to say, State Senator Sam Gavan out of Huntsville has got a bill to help deal with the issue potentially. Sam Gavan represents Senate District 7, elected in 2018, long history in state Republican politics, and he's also, by the way, the vice chair for the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I'm glad to welcome you on the show. Senator Gavan, how you doing today?
Doing wonderful. Finally, just now hit I-65 headed back north, just leaving Montgomery.
That was always the best part of the session week, right there. When you...
It is. Well, it is. Unfortunately, I'm probably going to hit Birmingham at the wrong time. But, you know, that's just part of it.
Well, anyway, thanks for your continued service. Senator, let me ask you, you've got a bill that deals with the state health officer. Give us the gist of it first and tell us where you are in the process, and then I got a few questions for you on it.
Okay. So, just as you pointed out, you know, I was surprised to learn that, you know, the head of such an important Alabama public agency is not accountable to government and not accountable to any elected official. And the reason that's important is so, you know, the people, the constituents can reach out to the elected officials and let us know their displeasure or, you know, concerns that they're having. And then we can have an impact, you know, on the governor. And, you know, the governor would be able to have some influence over this, you know, this state health officer that's so important to, you know, what has been going on, especially. It was all, you know, brought to light during the pandemic. And this is not, I did not want this to be about personalities. And that's why I staged the timing the way I did. I did not want to make this about Dr. Harris and playing, you know, Monday morning quarterback and, you know, Coach Dye, that you and I both appreciated, you know, said hindsight's 50-50. I mean, I'm still not sure that we could, you know exactly how things would have played out. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think you and I have both expressed pleasure about, particularly when it came to churches,
right,
and freedom of religion. But anyway, I did not want to make it about that. So this bill would allow the governor to appoint the state health officer. And it would also, and this is something I ripped this off of Senator Orr. He was sponsoring this last time, and I was a co-sponsor, and it did not pass. If you recall, Phil, the governor did work in concert with the state health officer, but he didn't have to do that with her.
Right.
He could have entered all those orders on his own without her consent. This bill would require the governor's to enter into any emergency health orders. And I think that's very important just in and of itself, because then there's accountability to the people. You know, we've got to be able to have something that there where the people can, you know, what they'll do is they'll, you know, they'll reach out and they'll ding their senator and their rep and they'll call, you know, they may not be able to get to the governor, but they can get to us and expect us to get to the governor.
Well, so let me ask you this, though. I'm sorry, Sam. Let me ask you this: is your bill? And I've not read the bill yet, so I don't know the answer. First of all, does it have basic qualifications for the position? I mean, do they have to have a medical background of some type to be qualified?
That's going to be addressed in an amendment that's going to be coming out with one of Senator Weaver's concerns. She said, you know, look, you know, you could have a governor that, if she was actually worried about a little bit of the other extreme, you know, governor that just wanted to put his golfing buddy in there,
yeah,
that needed a job. And so we want to take that out, because what my bill, and this, I think this is very important, the state health officer would serve at the pleasure of the governor. And so the governor doesn't like what's going on, the governor can yank him out.
Yeah.
And we don't want, you know, our goal is not to have a revolving door here. It's not to do that. But, you know, in my response to some people that expressed concerns about a revolving door, I'm like, look, one of the hottest spots in the entire cabinet is the highway director. And our highway director, you know, has been there, but I think 10 years.
At least, yeah.
I'm losing track of time, but I mean, all of two terms, and then I guess, well, not quite 10 years, but, you know, he's really been there a long time, so we can have continuity even in a controversial spot, you know, but you've got to be able to navigate, and part of that, I think, is going to be paying attention to what impact you're having on the folks.
Well, so let me ask you this then. You get a man or a woman with whatever the basic qualifications are for the job. They're appointed by the governor. I like that so far. What about Senate confirmation? Because so many of these positions, you got to watch the good old boy system, like you're saying. You may also find out that, you know, last week he was marching at a Klan rally or something. You don't want that guy to just walk in because the governor said so. You want to have a Senate confirmation process, which you're familiar with. Is this going to be in your bill also?
Yeah, and I am on the confirmations committee. I had that in there, and I took it out before I dropped it because of what some of my fellow Republican senators were saying, that, you know, hey, the governor doesn't, you know, we don't have to run, you know, Secretary of Labor, you know, whatnot. We don't have to, the governor doesn't have to run those by. So, I mean, I did take that out of my draft.
So is it a purely is it a cabinet level position then?
Well, I mean, it's the equivalent of that, because she would be making the governor would be making the appointment. Now, they're still going to be working with the state health board place. You know, I tried not to blow the whole thing up like Senator McClendon did a while back. And I'm not that I didn't sympathize with him on a lot of points, but, you know, I wanted to have a targeted approach, and also, again, not want to make it about Scott Harris, or Dr. Scott Harris in particular. The way I've got it set up is the emergency health order would be, you know, effective. I don't remember if it's immediately. Usually the standard language, I think, is like 3 months from his passage or something like that. But it would be in effect this year. The appointment for the state health officer would become effective on the earlier of a vacancy in the office of state health officer or the installation of a new governor. That way we just, you know, we've got a term in sight where we're going to see that, but that way we wouldn't be so worried about making it about Dr. Harris.
Okay, well, so let me ask you this. So right now your bill as it stands, basic qualifications are going to be added by amendment. The governor would appoint. The Senate is not going to confirm as it currently stands right now. Here's two more questions for you. Is the person going to be subject to the state ethics laws? And you know, like basically they can't mandate a vaccine and then also own stock in the company, that kind of thing. And then secondly, are they subject to impeachment if we find that the governor won't do anything about it, but that they have acted some way egregiously?
Well, the first count is there, you know, they're already subject to the ethics laws. I mean, okay. The ethics laws swoops in a lot of people that don't know they're probably covered.
Probably
by
true,
ethics
yeah.
Laws. And as far as the other one, I don't. It wouldn't be in this bill, Phil. Now, I don't know whether, you know, I have not studied the impeachment statute. Fortunately, we hadn't gotten anywhere near that or had to consider it. So I've not looked at that particular issue.
Just me and you talking, just nobody else can hear us, right?
But I know,
but
nobody, you know,
yeah, but
they've
just
all tuned out.
Yeah, just spitballing on this thing, man. I would encourage you to consider, I mean, if y'all aren't going to confirm, at the very least, does that still leave the legislature with the option for action in the event that you've got, like we had in the old days when you had you know, a different governor in, or who just was, you know, entirely different from the legislative process, and had his own agenda, or her had her own agenda. could the legislature then step in and initiate impeachment proceedings? I think that's worth looking at, just to be honest.
Well, that's something that, I can get LSA to give me an answer on that. But
and it may be that it's not, if you're not confirmed.
It may be there, may not. But I don't think confirmation alone would trigger that.
I think it's,
I guess the only question would be, for instance, impeach the Secretary of Labor. That's just what's coming out to me. ALDOT director, whatever. And I don't know the answer to that. Never considered that.
Well, we'll see where it goes. Either way, though, I'll be honest with you. I think your bill's the right track, man. We've got to do this. It's amazing. Like you and I were both talking before the segment really kicked in. None of us knew that this individual had that much power. And the right to, to enter and inspect without a warning and any who else? What else can they do? And I just look at it and think, good Lord, this needs to be dealt with.
I was stunned to find out that there was no elected official involved in that process.
It just seemed
so foreign to me.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for whatever conversations took place to set this into motion years ago, before you and I ever got into politics. There was somebody in the background going, "Hey, here's a really good idea," and it sucks. So, all right, man. Listen, you got a lot going on. I want to get you back on sometime soon and talk about some other issues. But for now, I think we're down to break time. Safe drive, and State Senator Sam Gavan, thanks for your time on this.
Thanks much. See you.
Wow. Who knew? And then again, now that we know, got to do something. So we're a couple of years into the attempts to make this change, and I'm glad to see that Senator Gavan is still pursuing it. This needs to happen, y'all. We need to know that the person who has the right to shut down your business, close your churches, and tell your kids to go home from school, and we need to know that we as a citizenry have a right to go, wait a minute, who hired that guy? And is he or she going to be responsible and accountable to us? And right now, the answer to that is no, they are not. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back and wrap this thing up, see if we got any texts to go over. And then coming up, bottom of the half hour, Boomer McQueen. Good times. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So I'm going to run the text line here for a minute. If you want to text in, you're welcome to it, 833-687-4448. Brandy from Athens, I guess she's talking about, this is about Dylan Mulvaney possibly being the spokesperson for Tampax. Says he'd be a better spokesperson for Summer's Eve, just for being a big douche, she says. Jeff from Indiana, talking, I guess, about my monologue earlier about people standing idly by and not saying something in the face of, egregious and awful and dangerous behaviors. Says, Phil, ask yourself what the fathers of this country, if they were alive today, would they stand by and let things go on that have been going on like, and I agree, man. I agree. Jeff from Green Hill, regarding the discussion we just had about the state medical officer being appointed by the governor, he said all it would take is one bad governor like Gretchen Whitmer or Michigan to make life miserable for the people of Alabama. Well, that's going to be true anywhere, though, Jeff, and I get it. But right now what we've got is a state health officer who doesn't even have to take the governor into consideration, can just issue his or her decrees, and the state lives with it, and it's not truly held accountable by anybody. Yeah, I get it. And I get it. You're going to say Gretchen Whitmer could appoint someone really bad. I do get it. But down in Florida, Ron DeSantis appointed his state health officer, who was really solid and very conservative and stood up against vaccine mandates. So Anyway, elections matter, dude. I get your concerns, but that's why we got to go to the polls, get the right one in there. Mike from Huntsville, long text, lots of facts. I can't get into all of it. He's talking about the question of whether it's treason or espionage. He says he believes that treason is usually constitutionally involved as a wartime status, and then he different from just pure espionage. Okay, I'll take that at face value, but I'll also look it up later on if I get a chance and see what we can figure out. We'll see what his charges are, too. We don't know yet. The charges have not been posted, but you can imagine. Here's my question, too. Who did he work for? Now, what I did some looking right during the break. Apparently, this kid, 21 years old, joined the military in 2019. He's a junior intel analyst for the 102nd Air Wing, Intel Air Wing, in the Massachusetts National Guard. And don't take for a second that, well, he's National Guard. How do you get access? National Guard is the same as anybody else on a part-time basis. I mean, there's no qualification I or anybody else ever had during our time in the Guard. You got an entire Special Forces group based in Birmingham right here. And they've got SCIFs and they've got secure facilities. They got top secret clearances and they do stuff. They just don't do it as their full-time job. But nonetheless, this guy was actually full-time. We called him full-timers. He was an AGR guy. Been in since 2019. I have yet to see his rank, but I'm going to imagine E3, E4. So here's my question, though. Who supervised him? Because ain't nobody that age and that rank, regardless of their clearance, is going to wind up having supervisory authority over himself. Not going to happen. Especially in a SCIF, that secure facility where they keep the documents that you can't even take your phones and things in there. Who supervised him allegedly? Did they know he was taking things out? Did they breach protocols? Did they not have sign-in logs? Did they not control access to certain things? And oh, by the way, if there were hard copies made, those are usually numbered and then recovered and put in a burn bag. So how? I mean, they don't even put them in shredders. They put them in a burn bag. So how did he get these documents out of there? Now, we know that he apparently hand-scribed some of them, but some of them actually had photographs, pictures on them, maps, that kind of thing. So who was watching over this kid, and will they be held accountable? Is he the first of several arrests? You got the one who went on the gaming platform chat room and posted it to his buddies, but who was his boss? Where was his section leader, his section sergeant? Who was his immediate rating officer? I want to know, because dang. If we don't hear about any other names, then I'm going to call this a freaking cover up. If we start seeing the cascading effect of his arrest leading to the next arrest, and then the next one gets some type of a UCMJ, at the very least a non UCMJ disciplinary action. Somebody heads need to roll. There's that. Jason from Huntsville said, I just read that the so-called governor of Arizona has a record number of vetoes. He's only been in office for 3 months. Okay, there's that. John from Huntsville. I don't know what he's saying to me. Boomer, maybe he's talking to you. Brian from Huntsville. I like the governor/Senate confirmation for accountability factors. Unsure where we can buy torches and pitchforks otherwise. I agree. And then Steve from Tennessee says, I think the U.S. Air Force arrest is a serious matter being used to distract everybody from something else. More serious. Good point, man. All right, coming right back, Boomer and McQueen. We'll be right back.